Welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast with your host, Michael Sherline.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast, Episode 3. Today is Friday, August 10th, 2018. We're going to talk to Reagan King from the website Course Isles, and he's going to school us about everything there is to know about advanced stats, a subject that I didn't really know much about up until today. We're also going to talk to Devin of Yes Men Outfitters. He's going to tell us all about his company and his products and some of his awesome designs, as well as some other stuff. We're also going to take some Twitter questions as well, because that seemed to work out really well last episode. So here we go. Let's get into it.
All right. So I'm with Reagan King of Course Isles. Reagan, how's it going?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Now, I'm not really too familiar with everything that you do, so why don't you take a couple of seconds or minutes here and tell us a little bit about your site?
Yeah, absolutely. So it actually began back in, I believe it was March or so of last year, and it was really a project that was based around a lot of Tableau visuals I had. So what I was doing was putting together things like shot location charts, expected goals, playoff odds, things like that. And I really just wanted to create more of a repository and kind of just one place that people could find everything. So instead of kind of tweeting everything after a game or just compiling everything and sending it out that way, I figured here's the link, play around with it, do what you want with it. So it was kind of just always that side project I had, and figured why not just kind of bundle it all up into one place that people could easily find. And really the biggest thing was what I do is very specific to one team. I'm not like, the bigger sites like a Corsica, who's kind of just covers everything of the advanced stats world. So yeah, I just really wanted to focus in on the Islanders. It is a smaller fan base and kind of that niche team really of the NHL. So why not just kind of compile it all together in one site?
All right, cool, man. That sounds great. How'd you come up with the name Course Isles?
I just mentioned one, Corsica, which I think it was just in my head because I just kind of liked how it flowed together. But in hindsight, I just liked the fact that it was kind of that Corsi and Isles flowed together. But yeah, I probably should have chose a different name. Just they're a little too similar, which, yeah, that wasn't the smartest play. But here we are, and I'm sticking to it.
I hear you. I mean, the names that I've chosen have just popped into my head doing random things, and, you know, here you are.
it's how it goes. We're just going to roll with it.
All right. Well, tell me a little bit about, you know, what you do for a living. Anything that has to do with numbers and actuaries and anything like that?
Yeah. So this was actually one of those things I kind of got, I wouldn't say got my job based off of this, but it certainly helped just kind of going into interviews. I'm kind of working in the web analyst type of world, going in with the kind of this hobby project of mine, the website and the stats and everything, and kind of bringing that to them, showing them, this is what I've done before. I do it kind of just a labor of love, and people kind of look at it like it's a crazy thing. And hand up, I'll always say, it's kind of a weird thing to just build Tableau visuals as a project, but that always seemed to resonate with different people. And yeah, it's definitely helped kind of both the work professional-wise, and then just still has that hobby feel to it. So it's not one of those turning your hobby into a job and you end up hating it type of situations.
I 100% feel you on that. There's been a lot of different things over the last 10 years that I've done that have been hobbies, and they just continue to be fun and exciting. And this is just another extension of that, like I've mentioned. Now, tell me, for folks like me who are fancy stat blind, what do these metrics show?
Yeah, so even just kind of, when you look at my site in particular, where it doesn't have everything, it's not going to really cover, it kind of covers the basics and some of the more of the advanced stuff. But specifically what I have here is something like beginning with game scores. So kind of even taking a step back, when you look at things like, those terms like Corsi, Fenwick, kind of those, I guess, buzzwords that a lot of people are familiar with nowadays. And it's really where I'd say the majority of people are kind of starting, and they hear these words, and it's more, I think they get a little intimidated by just those words, whereas all they are is essentially shot attempts, or Fenwick, for example, shot attempts minus blocked shots. So, you kind of take that at the core, and then, you look at something like game score. So what is that? It's, there's actually a stat, it's very new. It was created in the last couple of years by Dom. I can never say his last name. Wojcieszewski, I don't know. He writes for The Athletic, though. He does great work. And essentially what it is it takes a number of stats, things like goals, primary assists, secondary assists, and then a few different metrics, and just bundles that into one number. So what it's doing is kind of giving that raw number on an individual game level to say that this is how one player performed compared to another, really compared to any player in the league on a nightly basis. So you can kind of see what they did rather than just looking at that score sheet to say this guy had X amount of goals compared to this one. And really just, again, it puts that number to that specific player on a nightly basis. So it's just a great way to kind of visualize what's going on and who's doing well, who's not. And then just really kind of track that throughout the season to just kind of see the ebbs and flows of those players.
All right. Very good. I know you just mentioned a couple of different ways that some of those stats are recorded, but how are some of the other stat lines recorded?
Yeah, so it's a great question. I think a lot of people think there's a lot of tracking involved with some of these numbers. And again, even this stuff as basic as the Corsi Fenwicks of the world, and going into more of the relative numbers, the on ice numbers per 60s, quality of competition, all those. I mean, they really are all are coming from things just like the play by play data, and just it's shift data, things like that are all just kind of combined and fiddled with, I guess, in a lack of a better term, just to create the different metrics. So it could just be a matter of looking at who's on the ice at a certain time with another player of the opposition, or just things as simple as taking, this many attempts with an individual on ice, say Matt Barzal. So yeah, for the most part, it's really just kind of the raw play-by-play shift data, things like that. But, when you get into a bit more of the advanced stuff like say expected goals, those are typically based on models, and really they are all based on models, so those can vary a bit from model to model. So someone like a Manny from Corsica could differ from another site, which they're kind of fading from my mind right now since they all are kind of have gone the wayside at this point. But yeah, those could be model based because they take different criteria such as shot location, shot type and distance, things like that. So short answer is, yeah, the majority of it is coming just from kind of that play-by-play shift data. And then others could be kind of model-based metrics that just are going to vary depending on those models.
So tell me, in the advanced stats world, what kind of goalie metrics can we see?
Yeah, so that's a stat that's kind of been, or a position that's kind of been slowly coming around for now for goalies, where you've always had kind of the goals against average, save percentage, but a few metrics that I've been keeping track of the last few years, and they have been appearing more and more, is kind of the save percentage by dangers. So you have the low, medium, and high danger save position or save percentages. So again, this can kind of be based on models for some, others. For what I've been using is what they call the home plate territory. So it's really essentially place a home plate in front of the crease, and you kind of have that high danger area, and then kind of the side of a medium danger and then low danger. So how well is the goalie stopping those shots? So really it just kind of going to break it out. So, if you have a goalie that's stopping high danger shots at a great rate, then obviously that's going to be a lot better. They're going to perform a whole lot better, and typically you're going to see greater performance there. But if they're letting a lot of low danger shots in, that's not a great indication. So someone like Thomas Grice last season, for example, had, across the board, some of the worst numbers of a regular played goalie that I've really ever seen. So that was an atrocious season overall, but there's not really anything that stuck out as a positive from him. But things like, to your question, things like the danger save percentage are coming around, and just more of those numbers are slowly coming around. And I don't know if we'll see too many more of them, but it is a position that hasn't seen, I guess, the advancements as the forwards and defensemen have.
All right, cool. Very good. Thank you. Do we know if Lou Trotz and Lambert and the rest of the coaching staff are stats guys, or do we not know?
That's a great question, and one I've been trying to get an answer to, and I can give a definitive, I'm not sure. I don't know how they are. You know, I it appears that Trotz, you know, everyone's kind of praising how he is defensively and his defensive minded coach. And, you know, that's certainly a plus for a team that did have their massive defensive woes last season. So, you know, something like that is certainly a positive. Mitch Korn coming in, especially like I just mentioned with Thomas Greiss's abysmal season last year, and bringing in like Robin Lehner, who could have that turnaround season, and that 1 year contract could turn into a multi-year contract if Korn is the guy that's able to really bring these guys not only to their career averages, but, you know, maybe exceed them. Are they stats guys? They might be. I think there is someone kind of in the wings of the Coliseum and Barclays and wherever else they're going to be, but hopefully they are, and they're starting to use more of this, but you know, I thought Wait was kind of turning that corner, and then that maybe he originally was and threw that playbook out the window. So we'll kind of see what happens, you know, these next few seasons.
You know, you could kind of say the same thing about Jack Capuano, because it was reported pretty widely that, you know, the whole organization was leaning towards advanced stats. And I believe they still work with that Russian company on some performance data and everything. So I don't really understand why they decided to move away from it. I don't really understand why they decided to do a lot of different things, but that's another story for another day.
Yeah, that's it is one of those. My gut says they were following that, but they went to more of that kind of old school hockey guy mentality, and just, you know, kind of like the, to quote Jason Wirth, that sabermetrics are for nerds.
Yeah. You know, that's actually a great point, because you know, we're a mixture right now of old school and new school. You have some of the guys that they brought in to surround Trotz, and Lamoriello himself is pretty much from the old school days. So it'll be kind of interesting moving forward to see how things shake out.
Yeah, and that's what I think, you know, Devils fans and Leafs fans especially had kind of mentioned, that, you know, maybe he's not kind of the wizard he once was. And, yeah, there's certainly some signings that kind of pointed that way, but you know, also there's a lot of people that would burn Garth Snow at the stake at any given moment. So, you know, who knows? We'll kind of see. But, you know, I think everyone's kind of at least a little bit optimistic with, you know, just certainly the coaching staff. Everyone should be. GM, will, you know, we'll see how that pans out.
All right, very good. Please go into some detail and speculation, even, on what the forward lines would be based on your charts.
Yeah, so, you know, looking into this upcoming season, there are a lot of question marks, I'd say, with who's going to be playing where, how much ice time is everyone going to be getting. So, you know, a signing like Komarov was, you know, probably the quote-unquote worst, and I don't know if it needs to be in quotes, but it was probably the worst of the bunch. You know, no one really understood, especially the term, but you know, so a guy like that, you know, he might help on the penalty kill, but at the end of the day, where is he really going to be slated? And there's just a slew of forwards right now, and everyone's doing a trade inevitable before opening night. But, you know, who knows if there is. But, you know, for forwards, you know, Barzal is going to take that center spot, that number one. You know, he's kind of head and shoulders kind of won that spot clearly last year. But I think you see the Lee Barzal Eberle is going to be the first line. Maybe Bailey up there, but I think he's going to be on that second line. I think the biggest question mark is Brock Nelson, and everyone's kind of been on that train as well. So kind of where does he fall with this lineup? Does he get moved to wing? Does he stick at center? We don't know. And I think what's nice about with the new coaching staff and the new regime is they don't really know either. And so camp is going to be very interesting to determine who's going to go where. But even, you know, look at charts and stats aside, I don't know if there's kind of an ideal pairing right now. But, you know, what I would say is certainly another big question mark is going to be Kovar. Is he going to be as good as he was in the KHL? Does his game translate to the NHL, to the Islanders? Who's going to be on his wings? And ideally, I'd actually like to see him pan out and as the number two center, maybe even put Nelson as that third center. So maybe drop him down and kind of get some more balance on those lines, so you don't just have necessarily the top six, bottom six type of lines, and more so as a 2B, let's say, instead of that third. And then fourth line, you know, we're going to see the Butchie's favorite, EMC squared, I believe, which I'm not sure. I'd rather not. I'm more on the team of put more productive players out there than, you know, especially the hitters. I don't necessarily care about that. But, you know, does Ladd get dropped down to the fourth line and Martin doesn't see a whole lot of ice time? That's possible. But a lot of question marks since there are so many forwards, you know, on the roster this year. But in terms of defense, that's going to also be interesting. You know, a guy that I think I don't know necessarily if undervalued is the right word, but Pelech was, you know, I think better than people gave him credit for. He was, you know, especially looking at the numbers, he was on more of the productive lines in terms of kind of driving some of that possession last year. So, you know, he's going to be a big contributor, hopefully, and kind of where he slates. I would imagine he'll end up being on that second pairing. Letty and Boychuk likely together still, but, you know, again, is question mark. It's so tough right now. I don't know where everyone's going to be. There's a lot of, I don't want to say confusion, but there's a lot to digest this camp.
You know, it's funny. Everything that you were just talking about, I struggled to come up with a solid roster when I took Twitter questions in the last episode, and you know, I had actually even forgotten about Kovar, to be honest with you, and now that I'm looking back and you said what you said, it's even worse than you really think about when you look at all the names on paper, because there is such a logjam of players who are pretty much the same, you know, and then you want to try to stick with what worked from last year, but at the same time Trotz could come in and completely revamp everything. So the fact that you struggled to put Ladd somewhere that's not on the third line, but I do like maybe Brock on the third line as the third line center if Kovar pans out, because I know a lot of people give Brock a hard time, but I think there's talent there. I think he has a spot and he definitely can be dangerous, you know, especially if you watched anything in the Beauty League here.
Yeah, well, let's not put too much stock into the Beauty League, but I think, I want to say Nelson's going to just play better under a guy like Trotz, but that's me, I think, just being optimistic. And then even with Kovar, too, for some reason, I'm convinced he's going to pan out really and be this almost like Barzal 2.0, you know, came out of nowhere kind of guy, but there's really not much to say that that's going to happen. Sure, hope that it does, but at the end of the day, you know, there, like you said, there's a lot of the same, and that's pretty concerning. But I think, you know, DeHaan, even going back to the defense, was a huge, huge.
Oh yeah,
it was a big loss. Yeah, absolutely. It was a big loss. And again, when I was looking at numbers earlier, it's just he was always towards the top, no matter who he was paired with. So, you know, him gone is certainly a step back for the D, but I want to say with more of, you know, that Trotz-based team, if anything, I'd say they're about where they were, and maybe they even take a small step forward with, who knows, how Pulak, how his season turns out. And Hickey, he can always contribute. He also is kind of one of those guys that gets a little more, I think, hate than he deserves, but hopefully, yeah, it's like maybe a small step forward, but if anything, the glass half empty side of me says it's still a step back with the loss of DeHaan, but hopefully at worst they can kind of stay where they were, which wasn't great, but I do think Trotz will have them in a much better spot than they saw last year.
Absolutely. And he, not that long ago, was on record saying, you know, Pelech is definitely not getting the credit that he deserves, and that Hickey just does all the right things and always seems to be in the right spot. Granted, there's going to be a lot of Islander fans who are probably going to disagree with that. I'm not one of them. I happen to think that Hickey is a pretty solid defenseman given the frame and everything else. I mean, he was a first-round draft pick for the Kings, so there is talent there. That's definitely not something that anybody's going to argue, and he is the overtime champ, so there's always that, too.
Well, and in case they do need one more forward because they don't have enough already, Thomas Hickey slides right in there. One guy, though, we didn't mention, and I completely left him out, was the amount of talk from Trotz on Josh Hosang. I'll be very interested to see how his camp pans out and if he actually is on the roster come opening night. Certainly a guy I'd like to see. I mean, he's one of the guys that's, you know, even like looking at points per 60, he was up there. And I mean, he only had so much ice time, but, you know, that's what's great about a stat like that. And just a little small side note is that it does take into, kind of takes out how much ice time someone played. So you have more of that even playing field. But a guy like that, you know, he can drive possession. Or more so, he can control the puck and enter the zone, which a lot of these guys just don't love to do besides Barzal. But, yeah, I'm very curious to see where he ends up this season because, I mean, obviously he can be an electric player that can just kind of has those Barzal traits to him, just kind of needs to just tighten up, I guess is the best way to put it. But, yeah, I'll be very interested to see how he performs in camp and what Trotz does or thinks of him.
That's another player that Trotz – not that long ago said that all the tools are there. He seems to be a player that has been misunderstood and he just needs to play into the system. Granted, there really hasn't been much of a system in place. And, you know, for all the things that have been said about Doug Waite, I think, you know, he mishandled a lot and maybe that's not necessarily 100% on him. It could have also been coming from Garth. But moving forward, he's definitely an exciting player. He's somebody who is more than likely going to be pressing for a spot right out of training camp, and I wouldn't be surprised if he makes the opening night roster.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, I think. Yeah, and he's been mishandled for sure, and I know he's had his kind of immaturity shown in the past, but at the end of the day, the best player should be put on the ice every night, and there's a good chance he's better than some of the guys on what people would call the current roster. So yeah, that'll be certainly the person I kind of keep an eye on leading up till October.
So we'll use this as a nice little segue too. Do you think the Islanders will look for any trades to fill, you know, holes? And I know that's a tough thing to speak about when training camp hasn't even started and, you know, we only know what the roster is on paper so far.
Yeah, I would like a move, but realistically I would say, you know, they might start camp, maybe play some preseason games, kind of see how those pan out, then they try to make a call. But you know, the thing like trying to move for some sort of big defenseman that everyone wants, or now even like a guy like Matt Duchene, who I've clamored for now for a while, just they could make that work. You know, that'd be great, but I don't know if it happens. And also there's pretty much a completely new staff from top to bottom now. So who knows how they're going to operate. And, you know, Garth Snow put off the Johnny Boychuk, Nick Leddy trades all of a sudden out of thin air. So do we see something like that? I doubt it, but I would like to see some sort of moves, but also not moves just to make moves. And all of a sudden it's kind of another Komarov type signing.
I 100% agree there. The only things that I will say is there is definitely quite a bit of talent down in Bridgeport, and there are guys obviously on the roster that can fit holes elsewhere. And I doubt that they're going to move anybody without seeing anybody play here through training camp and maybe even some spring training. Listen to me, I'm stuck on baseball through preseason, but I don't know. I just, some of the moves I still question, you know, for July. Were they panic moves? Were they just moves because he owed people money? You know, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, the rumors are out there of, you know, it was a handshake deal, and who knows, but those are rumors for a reason. But yeah, I mean, we're not going to know any more than anyone else. And even, you know, the closest one that might know something, you know, like an Art Staple, I bet he doesn't even know just the way Lou works nowadays, so, or how he's always worked. So, yeah, it's we'll see, because I have no idea what's going to happen, and this could just end up being one of those, well, it was a season.
All right, to that end, where do you think they finish?
Oh, God, you're asking me that in August? Oh, boy.
Well, it's a podcast in August, so we have to fill some time here.
Yeah, fair. And no Jersey concepts have come out recently, so everyone's quiet. I mean, realistically, you got to think, like, 6th to 8th. I want to say that they might surprise us, and they could. Who knows? But, yeah, without another move, and I got to say, I'd say 6th, and I don't love it, but I just don't see how this team is going to really make a playoff push.
All right. Yeah, I have them in pretty much the same range, 6 to 8. I don't really see them being like a cellar dweller. I think they're going to utilize this whole chip on their shoulder and, you know, the unity that Trotz has brought to the room already without even really stepping foot in it is going to be huge. I think that's definitely going to be one of the big things here in the upcoming season. So who knows? I hope that they're going to rally. I hope that they're all going to gel together and just use this as a positive to move forward. So if they make the playoffs, maybe they make a little bit of noise, get a little bit more experience. But you never know what's going to happen. I mean, the roster is what the roster is, but that can always change in a day, like you had mentioned earlier.
Exactly. So it is, you know, hopefully it's not 6th, but kind of also don't want to be in that weird spot of, do you want to just not do well, get a better draft pick next year, and then be in a much better spot? Or do you want to, you know, try to make the playoffs, get some momentum going? But yeah, it's going to be an interesting season for a fan base that has kind of been on that. We need some optimism, but we also just had a terrible summer due to somebody. But who knows? Who knows? I don't know.
All right. Well, thank you for everything. Tell us where everyone can find all your stuff.
Yeah. So Twitter is just at Reagan King Isles. And then, yeah, if you're interested in any of this, these numbers and stats and all that, is just CorsiIsles.com, CorisLes.com.
All right. Well, everyone will be able to find the links in the description for the podcast and in the show notes. So thanks for joining us this week.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Hey, we'll have you back in the future for sure.
Sounds good. Thanks.
And now we are going to speak to Devin from Yes Men Outfitters.
All right. So welcome to the show, Devin from Yes Men Outfitters. Devin, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. So tell me a little bit. Give me a quick synopsis of how you started the business and how you chose the name Yes Men Outfitters.
Okay. So I went to college in Jersey for graphic design. And the main goal was always to start a clothing line in some capacity. I really followed, you know, things like the Seven Line, Johnny Cupcakes, Violent Gentlemen. I just always thought, like, more than the clothing, like the building of a brand and the building of social media presence and stuff like that was impressive. The way these brands, like, went about their business, and I just thought, you know, that was, like, what I wanted to do. The problem with being a graphic designer is that in the apparel industry, you tend to be overqualified for the jobs in the back of the building, what they call it. So printing stuff, and the demand for designers was kind of low because you only need one. So it took me a while, but I linked up with another. I'm a firefighter, and I linked up with another guy in another department who had an embroidery business. We started growing that, and then I self-taught myself screen printing. So we were running from there, and I was designing for fun, showing, you know, my sister, who, you know, I'm very close to my family, and I would show my sister designs, and she was like, oh, you got to put down a shirt, you got to put down a shirt, and I never really had time. And then one day I was looking at ESPN, and they had a big baller brand storyline, whatever. And I'm looking at the guy's shirt, and I'm like, dude, that shirt sucks. And I'm looking at the quality of it. I'm like, this guy's trying to sell these shirts for $1 million. And I just jokingly made the Big Barzal brand shirt. And I happened to be going to a game the next day. So after my my partner left, I turned the machines back on, and I printed up a couple. Brought them to the game. I wore it, and I couldn't walk, you know, 10 feet without getting mobbed. Like, where'd you get that? Where'd you get that? Where'd you get that? I said, oh, you know, I guess I need a website, you know? And that's where it started from there. I figured I had a winner with one and threw a couple more on there, and I was doing okay. So that's really how it started. And the name came from the joke, me and my sister. So, and not to be rude to anybody else, but everybody can't seem to get past the word army. You know what I mean? So every time someone started something, it was army, seven line army, blue and orange army. And we were like, okay, the moniker is kind of dead for me, in my eyes. Like, it was just getting repetitive.
I think though it's pretty, it's like an all encompassing thing though. When, you know, how can you portray a group as being strong and large, and, you know, in today's age, everything is military related. So to be an army, I think just shows how big like a group of individuals can be when they have a common, you know, interest or goal or whatever. So continue.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I agree. And it's not that it was a problem with anybody else who's doing it. I just didn't want to have something that matched anyone else's. And so, we just like the yes, yes, yes chant. It's funny. It's good. It's fun. And yeah, that's where it went. I was struggling after I said, well, let's try and get away from the word army. I was kind of struggling to find what you said, which is like a group of motivated people that stand behind a cause and stuff like that. And being from New York and being, we were going with the Brooklyn theme and all that, I came up with mob, especially with Twitter, because sometimes we can be an angry mob, but in a, you know. So I just thought that would, you know, to get away from the word army, that's where I would, and I, yes, men stuck, and that's where we are today.
I think it's a very clever name, and it's something that I think fits your style pretty perfectly, you know, even if it was accidental or just something that you shot in the dark there. And you brought up a couple of big names, you know, you got Seven Line and Violent Gentleman and everything. So I like that your aspirations are big when you compare, not really compare yourself, but compare what you're doing to some of the other stuff that's out there. I think that's great.
Thank you.
Obviously, you've experienced some growing pains, as evident on Twitter, and I think that you're doing a really good job explaining things to people. So tell me about how much it's grown and the ideas behind your designs. How has the demand, you know, kind of surprised you, and what are you doing to kind of repair that?
Right. So, like I said, it started with the Big Barzal brand shirt. You know, that was kind of my first, you know, oh, people like this and they're actually going to spend money to get one, which is cool. And for a while, I was following through with the brand because, you know, I also have a full-time job as a screen printer and embroidery on the side. You know, this is all aside for me. So I was going to a lot of the events at Offside Tavern, meeting people on Twitter face-to-face, which, you know, was a big step in a direction because now people know you, you've become friends with people. And so, you know, I was getting more retweets, more follows, more likes, all that, which was great. And then the Snow Must Go towels, you know, obviously that's, that I think it was the last Ranger game at Barclays for last year, was basically the breaking point. And I, tweeted out that I was making, Snow Must Go towels and I was handing them out in the front of the game, you know, and that picked up. But each time I did something, you know, I had gotten a little bit of a spark, but I didn't get, you know, an explosion, and I wasn't really looking for one. And then when we came out with the Say My Name t-shirt, which is the kid who won the Calder shirt.
Which is awesome, by the way. Absolutely
you.
Awesome.
Yeah. I worked together with Joe on Oz blog for that. And he kind of wrote to me, with my designs, you know, I try to keep it positive, you know, and I was looking for some sort of positivity in the JT situation. Couldn't really find one. Every time I went to go design something, it came out petty, and I didn't want to put that out there. So when he came and said, listen, there's something in that saying, you know, I think you should use that saying. And so I went with it, and it just went viral. So we don't stock any of the T-shirts pre-printed. So what I buy a bunch of blank T-shirts I try to keep the, for right now at least, I try to keep everything on the same color most of the time. Obviously, royal blue, navy. I have a gray shirt on there. And I was printing them as they were coming in. So, I, you know, not to bore everyone with the screen printing process, but it takes quite some time to set everything up. But it was fine when I was getting 3 or 4 t-shirts a week. I didn't mind doing it. And then that shirt came out, and suddenly I woke up and I was drowning in orders, not just for that t-shirt, but shirts that I never even made. People didn't even look at. So I was obviously ill-prepared, which is a good problem, but a problem nonetheless. And yeah, it's just, you know, I like keeping everything DIY, and I design everything by hand. Everything that's on that shirt that you get from us is made by me, printed by me. It doesn't leave my my shop. So everything, the design process is grueling. It's long. I print most of the shirts after hours at work, over weekends, overnights if I have to. But it's growing and it's great for it. So yeah, it's a process. So yeah, I'm just working my butt off, getting everything and trying to keep it a one-man show for right now. We'll see how long that lasts. But yeah, I'm working for it.
Awesome, awesome. You know, it's funny. I have been following you on Twitter for, you know, a little while, and I love how you provide everyone with some behind-the-scenes stuff, and the shot of the shipping labels being printed off I thought was absolutely insane and kind of drove home your point of how busy things have been, because the machine just seemed like it would go on forever. So I'm happy that you're finding success, and obviously you're a very talented guy, so moving forward I hope to see some great stuff out of you. Now, speaking of the future, do you have any extra plans or specific plans for the future as far as products and stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I got to kind of keep the products thing under wrap, because there's two other talented companies, and it seems to have turned into a bit of an arms race between the three of us of who's going to come out with it. So design-wise, yeah, we got stuff coming. Maybe even next week we'll have a couple new products. Obviously, closer to the season, we'll have stuff. But what I'm trying to, you know, people don't really wear T-shirts to a game. Baseball, yes. Football, not really. Hockey, it's kind of tough. So we're looking to get more merchandise there that can be worn at a game. Sweatshirts and hats and stuff like that. And so that'll be more the brunt of what I'm looking towards closer to the season. But more importantly, some of the stuff outside of merchandising. So we're working on that trip. Well, that's dead set, actually, is the first game of the season in Carolina. Myself and Isles Charlotte Meetup have been planning this for a very long time. Threw us for a loop when it was the season opener. We weren't ready for that, but we worked through it. And I mean, he's gotten more sales for that at this point in the game than he ever has before. So this is going to be pretty big, bigger than we expected. We're looking for 100+ people at the first game in Carolina. Tailgating scene there is awesome. I'm going to be down there. We have shirts for that. I'm bringing down a bunch of stuff for that to give away to the people who show up. And obviously tailgates at the Coliseum, which is something that we all get to finally go back and do. We're not trudging around Brooklyn anymore, which is going to be great. And I'm working on some collaborations with that, with some pretty big names that I can't talk about currently. But when we'll all be updated when that finally comes through. Yeah, and just it's starting to spark a little bit of a nationwide Islander fan revolution here, because now everybody who doesn't live in the area, a lot of transplanted New Yorkers want to meet up. So hopefully we can get that ball rolling and meet up with everyone at all these NHL cities, man.
You know, that's an interesting point. I've noticed in the last week alone a bunch of Isles meetup Twitter handles have popped up and have started following. I think that's great. You know, there are a lot of transplanted New Yorkers, like you said. So to get everybody on board, and, you know, I spoke to Reagan King yesterday from Course Isles, and we talked about how this season seems to be everybody coming together and everybody has a chip on their shoulder, be it the fans, the be it the players, even some of the media, you know, who's taken like a shine to the Islanders over the last few years. So I think it's great that everybody is getting together and we're all going to work through the loss of 91, you know, in our own ways. And I'm really excited for the season despite all the stuff that's happened. So in closing, where can everyone find your products and how can you be reached?
Right. So the website is www.yesmenoutfitters.com. All of our in-stock products are up on there. You can check it out there. We have, obviously, I do the work on the Twitter, which is yesmenoutfitter, at yesmenoutfitter, no S at the end. And I have an Instagram. I haven't gotten around to really posting all that much, but that that's also Yes Men Outfitters, no underscores, no spaces, I believe. Don't quote me. I'm sure I'll get a tweet that says, I can find you on Instagram, but I'd love to start building that up as well, too. So anybody out there, follow me on Instagram as well.
Sounds good, man. All right, well, thanks for stopping by. Hopefully we can have you again in the future. It's been a real interesting conversation, and again, I'm very happy that you're finding the success that you have, and hopefully we can do some fun stuff in the future, or perhaps a giveaway or whatnot.
Great. Absolutely. Thank you, Mikey.
All right. No problem. All right. So we're going to take some Twitter questions because it seemed to work out fairly well the last time we did this. So the first question is from FL Isles Guy. Does Jan Kovar play more than 40 games, and what line is he going to be the center of? Now, if you listened earlier, Reagan and I talked about this a little bit, and he could potentially be the second line center if Brock winds up centering the third line. So it's just really a matter of how he does during training camp. He's an unknown at this point, so he can come out of the gate and his style of play can transfer over to the NHL from the KHL. That's obviously an unknown. As far as the games played, you know, it goes back to if his game transfers over to the NHL. So that's a good question. It's obviously an unknown, and it's a wild card there. So hopefully his game transfers over, I would say. But I guess we'll see. The next question we have is from Drive for Five. Is Brock Nelson traded by the deadline? Now, I understand a lot of you are against Brock Nelson remaining on the team. I mean, this is a guy that the Islanders drafted, as I mentioned in the last episode. And at times he has shown glimpses of being way better of a player than he is often, but he disappears a lot. So, I mean, that's always another wild card, right? Which Brock is going to show up and when? So he's on a one-year show-me deal. He avoided arbitration. It's a new coaching staff. We obviously don't know how he's going to respond to Barry Trotz and Lane Lambert. He could come right out of the gate again, like we just said about Jan Kovar, and surprise a lot of people. If that's the case, I do not see them trading him. But again, if he's worth any kind of value to anybody, he could definitely be moved towards the deadline. So, great question. All right, here's another question from FL Isles Guy. Does Josh Hosang make the team out of camp, or is it going to take an injury for him to crack the lineup? As Stan Fischler said, Trotz sounds high on him and has skill. Again, earlier in this episode, Reagan and I touched on this. Josh Hosang has a tremendous amount of skill, especially compared to other comparable players around the league. He's like a Matt Barzal in terms of what he can do with the puck and his skating ability and his playmaking, his vision, all that stuff. It's just a matter of tying it all together. It's a matter of adhering to being a professional. I mean, he's still a younger type player. He hasn't really had a whole ton of NHL experience, but maybe Trotz will kind of drive that point home. And if he has a great training camp, I could see him making the roster right out of camp. If not, obviously he's going to have to go back to Bridgeport, work on his game a little bit more, and they'll keep an eye on him, and he'll be one of the first people called up for sure. This next question is from Brandon Gaines 91. Now, Brandon, I think you should maybe change your 91 unless you're now using that for Butch Goring, so that's okay. Ignore what I just said. He asks, would you package Josh Bailey in a trade for Matt Duchene? Now, Josh Bailey, I am a little partial to him. I have a pretty good history with him moving back to my time in the Blog Box, so I have like a personal attachment to him. I think he's a great player for where he is. I understand the Islanders gave up a lot to draft him, and they rushed him along and all that other stuff, and that's fine. Everybody is entitled to their opinions. But I think that Josh is a valuable player. He just signed that extension. I do not believe that a team is going to trade for him, especially for a guy who is going to need a contract. I don't think that's really smart asset management. You're going to give up a guy who signed for 5 years, and we know what he is, for a guy that has struggled, and obviously has struggled in Colorado, and then he struggled initially in Ottawa. And Ottawa is a complete tire fire. I understand that. But one is or is slated as a center, and he's played wing, and then he's moved back to center in Josh Bailey. And then you have a guy in Matt Duchene who is also a center and was from the same draft as our former 91 who left to go wear pajamas in his hometown. So is there value there? Absolutely. Would he make the Islanders better? Potentially. But there's just too many unknowns there, and will he even accept a trade to the Islanders? If you're going to trade Bailey to Ottawa with that term, I think you're going to have to add, and I don't see the value there working out for the Islanders. Great question.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it, we would appreciate it if you would rate, review on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, everywhere that we're available. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. You can find all the information right on our website, theislesfaithful.com. Again, thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.